Congregation, last Sunday, Reverend Whitten dealt with question and answer 54 of Lord's Day 21. This afternoon we'll deal with question and answer 55 of that same Lord's Day, Lord's Day 21. And there we confess the following. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers, all and every one, as members of Christ, have communion with Him and share in all His treasures and gifts. Second, that everyone is duty-bound to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the benefit and well-being of the other members. So far, that question and answer. We'll read in connection with that 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read there the verses 12 to 31, which concerns exactly that communion of saints. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. So far, the Word of God. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, and boys and girls who belong to the Lord, you could say that a picture is worth a thousand words, as a saying. And so, because sometimes you can get across what you want to say better in a picture, like painting a picture, than in words. Well, the Apostle Paul uses a picture of the human body with head and torso and limbs to show us how the Lord intends the communion of saints to work. A body has many different parts, and yet all those different parts are necessary to each other, and they need to function together to be a harmonious unity. And with that picture in mind, I proclaim to you the communion of saints as described by the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, and as we confess that communion in Lord's Day 21, question and answer 55. With this theme, the human body illustrates how the communion of saints ought to function in the Church of Christ. First, as a body with one head, and secondly, as a body with many different parts. So first, as a body with one head. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, how come when you walk, your one foot goes first and then the other, and they don't argue with one another which one goes first? At least not if you're healthy. And how is it that both your hands are able to do things in coordination with one another without getting into trouble with each other when you're doing a certain task? And how come when a bright light strikes your eye, your hand goes up and kind of protects your eyes from the bright light? How is it that those different parts of your body work in such good coordination and cooperation with each other? It's because of your head. All the different members and all the different activities of those members of your body are governed by your head. Your head is the manager, is the boss over all those different parts of your body, your legs, your arms, your hands, your eyes. Your head tells those parts what to do. Make sure that all those members of your body work together in coordination with each other. If your head decides you should walk somewhere, then that head tells your feet, your legs, to move in such a way that you go forward, left, right, and bring you where you want to go. If your eyes can't stand the bright light, then your head instinctively orders your hand up to shield your eyes from the light. And you know, that's how it is with the Church of Christ. According to the Apostle Paul, this picture he paints, the congregation is like a human body. You are like a human body, he says. And the members of the church are all different parts of that body. You're each a different part of this body here. And the head that controls everything in this body, all the members, is Jesus Christ. He guides the members to work in harmony so they do what He wants them to do. That's how it is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, the apostle says, so it is with Christ. The church, that body is His body. It belongs to Him. He is the head. Colossians 2, Paul urges the believers in the church of Colossae to hold fast to Christ the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Christ the head, you the body. And see, without Christ as the head and without His Spirit, which we could say is the nerve out of the head, without His Spirit, the body cannot grow, cannot function, cannot act properly. None of the members would work together anymore, and there would be division in the body. What we learn from that is that the unity of the church and the life of the church is not something that people give it. The members don't decide on the unity of the church. It's Christ the head who keeps the body alive and working together. It comes from Him. If there is disharmony in the body, if there is division in the body of Christ, if there are cliques, or if there's estrangement, or if there is hatred against one another in the body, that can only mean one thing. certain members are no longer connected to the head, Christ. It means that they're not listening to the head, Jesus Christ, anymore. It means that they're resisting the Spirit, His Spirit. It means that they're living for themselves instead of for the Lord who is the head. That's how Christ the head works, the unity of the church, which is His body. He decides. He is the manager of it all. And through His Spirit works in the body. For as Paul says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into the one Spirit. So the apostle reminds the people of the church of Corinth how they came to faith, became members of Christ's church there, by the power of the Holy Spirit, sent by the head, Jesus Christ. They were drawn from their former lives and were formed into a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was signified by baptism. They became part of Christ's body, connected to Him, the head, controlled by His Spirit. And what happened when they were joined to Christ and to His body like that? Is that all the old characteristics that used to separate them from each other were taken away. Fell away. Ethnic origin didn't matter anymore. Jew or Greek, they became one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Social status didn't separate them anymore. Slave or free, they were all united under one head, Jesus Christ. The Jew sat in church with the Greek. The slave sat in the same pew as his or her master. The point is, they were all joined through the working of the Holy Spirit. They were joined to the one Savior and head, Jesus Christ. In Him, they were one body. They were His body. And see, the Holy Spirit connects us all to Christ by the changing of our hearts through the Word. Through His working in the hearts, all these different kinds of people are knit together in one body with Christ as the head, who ultimately controls everything. Through faith, worked in your hearts, you become Christ's body. So the unity of the Church of Christ here isn't a matter of common interests, common ancestry, common culture or so. And it's not the family connections or the common experiences or shared morals that hold you all together here. If that's what makes this a church here, then you're a church for the wrong reasons. You're not really a body of Jesus Christ. You're some kind of social organization. No, if you belong to the Lord with your hearts, then your unity is in Christ and Him alone. And His Spirit binds you together. The connection to Him who is the head is what joins you together and makes everyone one, in spite of maybe being miles apart in ethnicity or status or abilities or character or whatever else you might think of. So the Holy Spirit congregation also doesn't join everybody together here, though, by removing your uniqueness as persons. Not at all. A Greek would remain a Greek, and a Jew a Jew. And a slave didn't have to become free. No, the Spirit respects who we are as individuals. Lets us keep our individuality. And He Himself also makes us individuals, gives each of us special gifts or talents or abilities. But all that variety and diversity doesn't take anything away from the unity and harmony of Christ's church. In Christ, the one isn't more or less than the other. All belong together as one in Him. There is no more or less among you. You are one in Christ. Everybody here is an individual, but there's no individualism. All function together as one body under one head, Jesus Christ. So what you are as Church of Christ here isn't just a group of religious individuals who come together to enjoy some mutually desired functions here. No, as we confess Lord's Day 21, answer 55, believers, all and everyone, no matter what kind of persons they may be, as members of Christ, if they confess Christ, have communion with Him, and they share in all His treasures and gifts. Able and disabled, whatever. All share in His treasures and gifts. And that means that a Church of Christ is then this body of many different kinds of people, all necessary to the whole, all sharing in the same treasures of Christ's salvation, all belonging to the same Lord, all motivated by the same Spirit, all living out of the same hope, and in the same love. And the question to think about then is, congregation, is that how you are here? Are you really all here, joined together by the one Spirit, in the one body, under the one head, who is Jesus Christ? Then that should show in the love you have for each other. And the care. And that brings us to the second part of the sermon. The Church of Christ functions as one body with many parts. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls too, that the more we see that unity which we have in Christ, the less threatening the differences between us are. Right? If our unity doesn't depend on ethnic background or age or status or income or health or abilities or disabilities or character, we won't let any of those differences worry us anymore, would we? They don't separate us anymore. They're not going to be such a big deal for us anymore. That's where Paul is going in 1 Corinthians 2:12. In fact, he even goes farther. He says that in the church, differences between people individually, are not going to be reluctantly accepted, something we grudgingly have to learn to live with, that someone else is different from us. No. Paul says that in the congregation, those differences in character, abilities, etc., are good. They're beneficial for the whole. They're necessary for the working of the whole. For the body. He says, imagine if there were no differences. Imagine if we were all exactly the same in the church. It actually would not be able to function very well as the body of Christ. Think of the human body, says the apostle. Imagine that the body just consisted of arms or legs. Instead of ears or a nose, you'd have arms and legs there. That would be awful. You wouldn't be able to see or hear anything. Or, he says, imagine if the body just consisted of eyes or ears. You know, just a trunk with ears and eyes all over it. That'd be awful too. You wouldn't be able to get around. Where would the legs be? Where would be the sense of smell? That's how it is with the Church of Christ. The body of Christ. Imagine if there were only office bearers, no members. Who would those office bearers be overseeing and helping? Or imagine if all were generous givers, but there were no people who required help at all. Or just imagine, you know, that there were people who were able and none who were disabled.
Congregation, we're all different. And that's a big blessing for Christ's church. And that's because it's the only way we can function well as body of Christ. He puts us together. He puts this body together to function together under one head. And we're all different. And that's a blessing for the church because it's the only way we can function as body of Christ. Everyone has her or his own unique place and purpose in the church here. Nobody here is unnecessary. Everybody has a place and a function here on behalf of Christ. And if you accept that and see that, you can help each other too, being a hand and foot to each other in this life. And you can then contribute to the functioning of the whole. Each of you has different strengths and weaknesses. And so you all help each other and need each other here. One's good at this, not great in that. Another's weak in that, but not strong in this. And that's how you all balance each other out and function as one body. Congregation, sameness, uniformity in origin or ability or intellect or opinion isn't good for the church. Not good. We'd end up with a body that was all ear or all leg and wouldn't work. And so we should never try to do away with the differences like that or resent the differences either or minimize them. Sure, we need to be the same in that we all share that bond with the head, with Christ. That we all seek our forgiveness and life in Him. That we all confess Him as our Lord. But it's wrong to think we all need to be uniform in the things we don't really need to be the same in. It's not good if we think if only everybody was like me, this would be a very happy church. It wouldn't be. Sometimes that there's the inclination to think that, right? You should easily get the formation of groups of people who all have the same opinions about certain things, cliques, and then they can look down on others because they don't think the same as we do. It's wrong, according to 1 Corinthians 12. Diversity in the one body is necessary. It's good to discuss with others who confess the same Christ by the same Spirit, but who have a different perspective than you do. Maybe because they've had completely different experiences than you have in life. And then it's good to discuss your thoughts and ideas with them and your opinions, because then you both grow deeper spiritually from that. This is what the Bible says. No, I think it's this, and you could be right. See, Paul's point, 1 Corinthians 12, is that dissimilarities among members who belong to Christ's one body shouldn't be seen as something negative, but as something positive, something to be exploited for the edification of all. It's beneficial to discuss differences of opinion about inessential matters. You may have a point that others need to learn from, or maybe you have to learn from them. We all need each other in these things. Maybe you think, I'm so different from the others in background or the way I think about this or the way I do that. I guess I don't really belong here. I won't get involved in the life of the church here. No, no. You belong and you're important for the functioning of this body of Christ. We're all important for the good functioning of the body of Christ with our unique distinctives. Think of what the apostle writes, verses 15 and 16, 1 Corinthians 12. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Well, a foot can't hold things, the hand can. But a foot can move you ahead, and the hand can't. See? Because I'm a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. See, Scripture says that each of us here is important for the functioning of the whole body, the proper functioning. As people united with Christ the Head through baptism and faith, you all belong, you all have a place in the functioning of this body as a whole. Don't be ashamed or withdrawn because of any differences or because you don't have what others have or because you can't do what they can or because you have needs and they don't have those needs. Others lack what you have, need what you have, need to learn from you, need to learn to open their hearts to those who have less than they do. And you, if you have, you need to learn to give, to be empathetic. You're all needed with your uniqueness. No call for anybody here to feel inferior to others here. And no call for anybody to feel superior to the others here than either, you realize. Look at verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 12. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In the Church of Christ, we may never think, we'd be better off without that person in church. What are they doing here? They're so different from us. They're so difficult for us to deal with. Paul says, verse 22, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. We need those others, those who are different, weaker to our way of thinking. We need those who are disabled, those who are sickly, those who are struggling, those who are difficult. We need them more than we know. Maybe they need to temper us, to teach us empathy, to teach us patience, to bring out kindness in us. The thing is, we need to understand that they're there for our good and the good of the whole body. See, we actually need variety and diversity in the church in order to be a living body of Christ. Everybody here has something to give in his or her own way. And everybody has things they need, which others here can give them in their own way. It's give and take. And that's what makes it alive and healthy. Just like you need to take care of your body to keep it alive and healthy. All the parts of your body need attention and care and protection. But one part may be more than the other. And the other part can help it in that. Your arms and legs can take a fair blow, but not your head or your eyes. They're more vulnerable. So you take more care that you don't bang your head or poke your eyes. They're more vulnerable. And if you have an ingrown toenail, you take extra care not to bump it and you see the doctor for something to help you with that. Or if you have a broken bone somewhere, you need a cast and you can't use that part of the body for a while, so you need to be extra careful with it. All this says something about the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians 12. We so easily think that the more prominent people in the church who do a lot for the church should receive the most honor and attention, while those who are weaker, struggling on the edge of things, don't have the ability to do much, they're less important. And they should receive less attention. It's actually the other way around. The Apostle Paul teaches that in the verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 12, using that imagery of the body. He says there that the parts of the body we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. In other words, those who are less gifted, maybe, or who are less conspicuous, or who have more troubles to deal with, or who hang on the fringes of the church, they belong, and they need more attention. They need it from the others. They're part of the whole. They're needed. On the other hand, those who are prominent, have many gifts, are pillars in the church, they need less attention. They can give more attention. And they're both part of the whole, both needed, prominent as well as less prominent, those with many gifts as well as those with less gifts, those able and those disabled. The Spirit has put them together, you see, in the one body of Christ because He wants them all to function well together. We need each other to function properly as a body. That's how it is with the human body too. More or less, more and less honorable parts, more and less presentable parts, but all necessary to the life of the body. And what does all that mean for you here as members of this church in Yarrow? As body of Christ, you're all together one unit. You're all prominent as well, and able as well as not so prominent and not so able or even disabled. You're all necessary here to this body. And if that's how you see it, you'll have heart for one another too, right? Then as the apostle writes, verse 25, all the members will have the same care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. The same care for one another. If one member suffers, it's going to affect all the others too. And if one member is honored, all the other members share in the joy and the honor. That's the way it is also with the human body. If you break an arm, your whole body is going to hurt. And your whole body is affected. And if you get a good back rub, your whole body feels relaxed. See, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, young people too, you're all, each one of you is necessary for the proper functioning of the body here in this place, the body of Jesus Christ. And you all belong to each other under that one head, so that what happens with the one affects all the others too. So there's no need to think you're not important here, and neither is there any reason to think, well, I'm more important than the others here. And there's no need to compete with each other and become envious of each other in the congregation, or to think in terms of rivalry here. Not at all. All the different parts of this body are connected with each other, and they all need each other as a living body. So it should be with the body of Christ, says Paul. Whether you're great or small, able or not so able, strong, not so strong, old, young, all needed for the proper working of the body. And so we ought to accept each other as such. That's what the church members in Corinth didn't see. And that's why we read that part of 1 Corinthians 12. If you look at the previous chapters of 1 Corinthians, you see that there were divisions in that church of Corinth. One said, I belong to Paul, and the other to Peter, and the other to Jesus. There were divisions, cliques, rivalries, conflict, criticism, schism even. A lot of bumping and banging into each other in Corinth. And so Paul writes to that church. It says, 1 Corinthians 12, look at how the Lord made the human body, people, in Corinth. It has one head, which controls what the body does, so it can work as a unit. All the parts work together. That's the way it should be if you're the body of Christ. And then all these parts are necessary. Differences in race, personality, or ability aren't bad. They're all good. They're necessary. The body needs a variety of different parts in order to be able to function properly. It needs presentable and unpresentable parts, says Paul. They all belong together and contribute to the functioning of the whole. All the different people with different gifts are needed for the church to be body of Christ. And if you see that, says Paul, you'll have heart for each other. Then when one person suffers, all suffer with that person. If another is honored, all are honored with that person. then all empathize with each other. You have heart for each other. The hearts are truly united in Christ then. And see, congregation, that's what we confess. Lord's Day 21, answer 55. All believers share in Christ, the head. Share in His gifts in their own way. And then everybody is duty-bound to use His gifts or her gifts readily and cheerfully for the benefit and the well-being of the other members. And that's a confession we all need to learn over and over again, isn't it? So we don't fall into competing with each other or being jealous of each other or feeling alienated from others or maybe superior to others or inferior. You're all one in Christ. And all receive gifts from His Spirit to be utilized for the good of the whole congregation. All are needed and all need the others. The able, the less able, and vice versa. Person on the fringes of the church needs the person who's in the middle of everything and vice versa. We all need each other. And the more you see that, the more heart you have for each other. And it'll make you eagerly desire that greatest gift which Christ gives to the church. And that one is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. We didn't read it. You can read it at home. Beautiful chapter. And that is the gift of love. Amen.